Hi, this is Techonomics, and I'm your host, Jason Middleton. They say timing is everything. They say a lot of things, of course, but in this case, it is often very true. The thing is, when they say that, it's usually retroactively, looking back on a successful something and valuing the timing of the event as much as the event itself. We don't take when as seriously as we take questions of what, and we should, whether it's in business.
NYU researchers looked at these transcripts and said, does time of day affect how they talk about things? And it turned out that afternoon calls were more negative and irritable than morning calls.
Or sports.
NBA teams that were trailing by 1 point were more likely to win than NBA teams that were ahead by 1 point.
We believe timing is an art, but it's really a science. And New York Times bestseller Daniel Pink has pulled together research from dozens of disciplines to help make systematically better when decisions at work, at school, and at home. Timing has a profound effect on everything from education to the criminal justice system, job performance to team success, relationships to health. Coming up right here is a discussion around why we all need to take the question of when as seriously as the who, what, and how questions. Okay, here we go.
My name is Daniel Pink, and I'm the author of When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing.
We're going to get deep into the scientific secrets, but I kind of want to start on a macro level, Dan. When we're in journalism school, we're taught when, where, how, what, why. For you, and during your research and writing when, do you think that when, in a macro sense, is a first principle? Like, it should be the starting place for each medium to major decision that we need to make?
You know, I think it should have a seat at the table, Jason. I don't think it's necessarily more important than what we do or how we do things or who we do it with, but I think it's as important. And in general, especially in business, it's gotten the short shrift. We're very deliberate and intentional about what we're going to do, right? We got a strategy. We're intentional about who we're going to do it with. We've got a human resources department. We're conscious about how we do things. But when it comes to when we do things, it often doesn't get that seat at the table. And what this very rich body of science tells us is that it should, because when we do things over the course of a day, over the course of a year, over the course of a lifetime, has a material effect on how well we perform.
Well, I speak with a lot of entrepreneurs from startups to established publicly traded companies, and I have to agree that during our conversations, it always comes up like we saw a market opportunity, we've solved for X, we created the product. When never really comes up. When seems almost like timing is some kind of artistic value, and you've been able to disprove that in several ways.
That's exactly the point, that we dismiss it in precisely the way that you're talking about, but we shouldn't. And even when it comes to startups, I mean, Bill Gross, who is the founder of Idea Lab, did some number crunching on his portfolio of companies that he's helped create over the course of 20 years. And what he found was actually the single biggest predictor of when a startup was going to succeed was timing, rather than the technology they had or even the talent that they had.
That's kind of incredible, because his track record is amazing. Their track record, his team's track record, is amazing. You specifically get into psychology and biology even. Can we talk a little bit about your major findings in each of those three legs on that stool? Let's start with psychology. What was something that surprised you in the data?
I guess the biggest surprise was this, that our brain power does not stay the same throughout the day. It changes. It changes in significant ways, and it changes in predictable ways. And so doing the right work at the right time of day can pay off mightily. And as we were talking before, we usually don't do that. We just say, oh, whatever, I'm just going to do this work now and this work now and this work now. But in fact, if we're more deliberate and intentional about it, we can get a lot more done and a lot better work done.
And that ties in with the biology data as well, I would assume.
Yeah.
There really are morning people and evening people, right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And you make a very good point there, too, that you know, boundary between what is biology and what is psychology is a very, very, very murky boundary. But what we know is this, that there are, that this idea of morning people and evening people, it's not folklore, it's not pop psychology. There's an entire field of science called chronobiology that has investigated this. And here's what we know. About 15% of the population are very strong morning people. About 20% of the population are very strong evening people, night owls. And about 2/3 of us are kind of in the middle. And what your what's called a chronotype, what your chronotype is, determines how you move through the day. Most of us move through the day in three stages: a peak, a trough, and a recovery. We have our peak early in the day, we have a trough in the early to mid-afternoon, and we have a recovery later in the day. Now, owls are very different. They have their peak, you know, well into the evening. But what we know is that we are better at certain kinds of work during each of these stages. So during the peak, again, which for most of us is the morning, we're better at analytic work, work that requires vigilance, work that requires being immune to distractions, lockdown, focus kinds of work, analyzing data, writing a report. During the recovery, again, which for most of us is later in the afternoon, our mood is up, but our vigilance is not. And that actually is a benefit. That makes it a good time for things requiring mental looseness, things like brainstorming or coming up with new ideas. Now, this middle period, this trough, is a really bad time of day, that early to mid-afternoon. There are gigantic drops in performance across many, many domains. And so what we should be doing at a personal level is doing our least important work then, things like answering routine emails, filling out our expense reports.
Life administration kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. Okay. The administrative work belongs in the trough. And during that trough period, we should also be taking more breaks and better breaks. But there's some really interesting declines in performance that I think that we're unaware of during that early to mid-afternoon period.
You know, one of the most traded fake news pieces last year, you probably know this, was that Tim Cook gets up at 4 a.m. so he can start his day. And that's, you know, the reason it was so successful as fake news is because it's so believable.
Yeah. I mean, but most people, even there's actually some interesting research on these extreme larks. And so, you know, some people get up earlier naturally. Other people get up later naturally. Not that many people naturally get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And this idea that all of us should be getting up in the, you know, the dark hours pre-dawn in order to get more done is nonsense. That works for some of us. It doesn't work for others of us.
As someone who gets up every day at 4 a.m., I can definitely attest to that. I had a morning anchor once tell me, son, you never get used to waking up at 4 a.m. You just get used to feeling like crap all day.
Well, I mean, there's something to that. I mean, yeah. Even there's some research in people doing shift work. That is, people who are working, say, from 11 in the evening until 8 in the morning. And what that research tells us is that it's really not very good for us. It actually begins to take a psychological and physical toll.
We talked about the psychology, the biology. You mentioned the chrono. Let's talk about the economic data that you found there, because let's put this into a business cycle sense. We talked about market opportunity. How did you get to when from the opportunity?
Oh, my. There's some really interesting stuff in business in this regard. I'll give you one of what I think is one of the most startling pieces of research. This is a study out of NYU. It analyzed 26,000 earnings calls from public companies. So public companies every quarter have these earnings calls. The CEO, the CFO get on the phone with analysts and journalists to say, you know, we're going to have these kinds of, we had these earnings last quarter. We project these earnings for the following quarter. These NYU researchers looked at these transcripts and said, does time of day affect how they talk about things? And it turned out that that afternoon calls were more negative and irritable than morning calls. Now, they said, that's kind of weird. Maybe companies are giving bad news late in the day and good news early in the day. They control for that, and here's what they found out. It still remained that afternoon earnings calls were more negative, irritable, and combative. And this is the kicker right here, leading to temporary stock mispricings for firms hosting earnings calls later in the day. That is, firms that had earnings calls later in the day saw their share price, not for a long time, but temporarily decline too far based on that negative sentiment. And the reason for that, again, is exactly at this juncture of psychology and biology that you've identified, that our mood changes in predictable ways over the course of a day, and our cognitive abilities change in predictable ways over the course of the day. And many of these executives, CEOs, CFOs with a lot of money on the line, still, they are biological creatures, and so they leaked. And this study from NYU said that, basically concluded that important corporate communication should be conducted earlier in the day rather than later in the day.
That's fascinating. And my mind immediately goes towards algorithmic trading and building something that looks for those buying opportunities in that excessive trough on afternoon calls after the bell.
Totally. I'm convinced someone has written a program to exploit that delta between the true price and the temporarily low price based on that negative mood of the people involved in the calls. It would surprise me if someone hasn't figured that out.
Right. Yeah. No doubt. Finding alpha from delta. Okay, I do business and finance reports on an all-sports station, and they really wanted me to ask you this question. Why are sports teams that are slightly behind at halftime, are they more likely to win?
Yeah, this is a really interesting piece of research from Jonah Berger and at University of Pennsylvania and Devin Pope at the University of Chicago. They looked at tens of thousands of NBA games to see to what extent the halftime score predicted the final score. And what they found is that teams ahead at halftime were more likely to win. Now, that shouldn't be a shocker, right?
Right.
They're ahead. They have more points and the game's half over. But there was an exception to that rule. The exception was this. NBA teams that were trailing by 1 point were more likely to win than NBA teams that were ahead by 1 point. That being behind by one was as advantageous as being ahead by two in the NBA at halftime. And this goes into some really interesting research on how different stages of timing affect us. So beginnings affect us one way, endings affect us another way. Midpoints, though, have this really interesting effect. Sometimes they drag us down, other times they fire us up. And it turns out across a range of different activities, being slightly behind at a midpoint really gets people going in the second half, that it's a huge motivation booster and performance enhancer.
That was New York Times best-selling author Daniel Pink. His new book, out in paperback, is titled When: The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. The book exemplifies how timing our decisions and actions can be just as critical as what decisions or actions we are taking. Links to the book and other links are in the show notes. Coming up after the break, a wonky business term, alignment, and what it should mean to senior business leaders. That's next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.